Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gabe. Good morning, guys.
Morning, JC.
Morning, JC.
So I'm going to have start my favorite topic. What will piss Keith off the most? So there's a lot of debate with Miguel Cabrera now on the premises of 500 home runs and 3,000 hits of who is the greatest right-handed hitter of all time. And basically the conversation that I've been reading and following has four guys in the conversation. Can you name them?
I would say Albert Pujols is one of them.
Yes. Willie Mays.
Well, Willie Mays, okay.
And a guy named Henry Aaron.
Right. Not a bad group.
Yeah, I would put Mantle in that group. He was a switch hitter, obviously, a guy whose career was completely derailed by injuries.
Right.
I know that your favorite ball player of all time was Al Kaline, but yeah. Mantle had to be right behind him.
No, because he was a New York Yankee. I admired Mickey Mantle, but I hated the Yankees, so it was really difficult for me to like him.
You know, the first images I ever have of baseball is Mantle, sprinting through the outfield. People want to talk about Mike Trout. This is the other guy that's in this conversation about being the greatest overall baseball player of all time. Mike Trout doesn't hold a candle to Mantle before knees betrayed him.
Right.
You're right.
No Al Kaline ever in this conversation. I know Kaline did a lot of other things in baseball. He's a fantastic outfielder.
Still, in my view, no matter what, the greatest Detroit Tiger of all time, Al Kaline.
But there you go. We are on History Watch now for the Tigers. Yeah.
What was the? I forgot to look at the attendance yesterday at Comerica
Park. 19-4.
Where are all the people? That's my question. Where are all the people?
I don't know.
I went off on with J-Bo the other day, it's almost embarrassing.
You
got to
stop that. J-Bo can't defend himself.
Is he taking it personal?
I always thought of my hometown area, that Detroit being like one of America's great baseball towns. We appreciate great accomplishments on the field, and nobody's showing up at the ballpark for one of the greatest.
Against the Red Sox, bring a lot of attendance in.
They're playing well. The Tigers, they took 2 or 3 from the Red Sox.
They've scored the most runs in MLB since the All-Star break. I mean, they're leading Major League in 112 runs they've scored since the All-Star break. That's leading MLB.
No, I don't understand. Attendance at a lot of things is kind of weird right now. We've been looking at putting some concerts up here and everything else. I'm a little scared about it because, you have to pay people in advance to come in and play. And then, if people are just the habits of people attending events and things like that are hard to predict right now.
They really are. And J-Bo made a good point when we were talking the other day, is that people have been used to sitting at home for a year and a half, just dialing up the TV and watching on TV. It's just easier to do that than pay $40 to go to a ball game.
Well, we're going to see what happens when some of these blockbuster films come to the theater this fall. Cheryl and I were talking. I was talking about that. She goes, "When's the last time you've been to the movies?" I'm like, I think it was that movie, the 1917 movie about World War One. Yeah. That's like a year and a half ago, right?
My wife and I, Julie, we ventured out Sunday to first time here locally in Grayling, and there was a decent crowd there.
Yeah?
Yep.
I mean, I'm going to see the James Bond and the new Top Gun, and these things are going to come out in the fall. Mm-hmm. But there hasn't been a film that's come out that I really felt the need to see on the big screen.
Right.
I agree with you.
Our friend of the show, Paul Woods, was there.
Really? You told me about that. What film was playing?
Jungle Cruise, the Disney movie with The Rock.
Yeah, how was that?
It was entertaining. It was entertaining. A lot of special effects, as you can expect.
Yeah, well, he's a special effect. At least he speaks English, so he's like the new version of Arnold Schwarzenegger. In fact, he's got to start redoing some of Schwarzenegger's films. I think would be a better move than making Jungle Cruise. I'd like to see him do Predator. At least I could understand the dialogue. Anyways, going back to the Tigers, Not only do we have Cabrera to watch, but like you pointed out, Rich, this is a team that's scoring a lot of runs.
Right.
That are excited to be on the field about it. The bullpen.
Bullpen.
Tremendous.
Yep, and absolutely.
The entertainment on the base paths alone, taking the extra bases right in front. I mean, there was a single out to left field the other day, and Willie Castro, went from first to third right in front of the left fielder and just tempted him to throw, and he threw offline. Castro's there. The guy comes up behind second and third now all of a sudden, both in scoring position.
Really aggressive base running, which I love to see. You know
Me
what?
Too.
Make the other team make a play.
Yes.
Make them, force them to make a play. And if they don't, take the extra base.
You know, that's
I love it.
Really the opposite tact of the Moneyball theory. If you remember the movie Moneyball, play conservative, and let the other team make mistakes. You know, like I pay you to get to first, not to get thrown out a second.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of different things. But that is not the way A.J. Hinch manages. You know, he did the same thing in Houston, especially when they were trying to climb the ladder. And if the ascent of the Tigers follows the ascent of the Astros, when they started getting better and they brought Hinch in, you know, the Tigers are going to be in the playoffs. And maybe not next year, but
they're two games out of second place
yeah.
in their division right now.
Yeah.
They're heading
they're 8 games out of the second wild card.
What did you make of Chris Illich the other day saying, "Well, maybe this offseason we can go we spend a little bit of money on
I don't like the word maybe.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah.
Okay.
I hear that.
Yeah. But he also hopefully, I mean, we need more, I think, professional hitters in the lineup personally.
Oh yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah, we need a shortstop. We need a glue shortstop there. What kind of price are they? Are they going to one of those 10-year, $300 million contracts?
No.
That's scary. Those are scary contracts that can set you back in the future.
Yeah. Well, it's too early to predict what free agents are going to be available, but you know, the Tigers did not draft their shortstop of the future.
No,
you know, the way the, you know, I guess we'd have to talk to our good friend Lynn Henning, and maybe we will at the end of the season, about what needs the Tigers can address and where they will go. I mean, obviously, Torkelson is looking like he's going to be, he might be up here next year.
Yeah.
And he's killing it in, what is he, a double A right now?
Double A,
yeah.
Here, yeah.
So,
Riley Green last week had 11 hits throughout the week. I was watching from the time. I mean, he's raking right now as well, stealing bases, doing everything, playing great defense. And so both those guys, don't be surprised next year.
Well, they'll be up in September. I got to imagine they're coming up.
I would hope so. This outfield is shaping up to be a really, really good outfield, by the way, with Akil Badu and Derek Hill in center field. Can that guy field or what? If he can hit a little bit, he's their center fielder for the next 10 years.
For sure.
Guy. Well, we've been saying that about your buddy before.
I agree with you. A lot of pretty good players. I thought Jacoby Jones would be that guy. Right. He certainly could field well. Couldn't hit.
Yeah.
You got to be able to hit if you're going to play in this.
And he could for a little bit. Then he broke his wrist a couple times.
He did. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And guys that can run, obviously, important in that expansive outfield.
Going back to that, Rich, that's fine if they can run, but, you know, you got to hit.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely.
Look what's happened to the Yankees since they brought in the three hitters. I know you hate to see it, but the Red Sox look a little shaky. They didn't really make any moves.
Oh, they're really taking a dive right now.
Oh, yeah.
They can't buy a win.
We were surprised how well they played thus far in the season because they were one of the teams like you, JC. I thought Boston wouldn't be a contender this year at all, but it kind of looks like now they may have hit the wall here.
Well, on top of the fact that the Yankees made the prerequisite moves and depending on what happens with their pitching staff, and you know they've got a couple of COVID issues, and the Yankees are always dealing with injuries with Stanton and Judge and those guys, and now what their catcher Gary, what's his name, is got
Sanchez,
COVID.
Yeah.
Gary Sanchez got COVID, but you know Rizzo and who's the guy that hit the home run yesterday that came over from
the Texas Rangers?
Yeah, the Italian
Votto.
Gallo. The guys are all heading to Little Italy after all the ball games at the Bronx. I'd watch out for them. You know, I'm looking at the World Series odds to the American League, and they're a good bet right this minute. But I bet you those odds are changing by the minute. I still like the
Tampa Bay Rays. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Boy, is that town having a good run, eh?
Incredible.
There's nobody at those games.
No, I know. I know.
Dick Vitale and six other guys.
Right.
Back to Miguel Cabrera for a second. He went 0-for-4 yesterday with a walk. He's 55 hits short of 3,000 with 52 games remaining. They're in Cleveland tonight, but it started three games. Matt Manning, 2-4 against Cal Quantrill. 2-2, 3.40.
Well, you're talking about just out of second place. That's the second place team they're playing.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
You know, the Indians haven't kicked our tails as badly as they have in the past few years. So it'll be a very interesting series. Of course, all those games are available right here on our Up North Sports Radio platform on both the 101.1s.
And Terry Francona is out as their manager. He's got health concerns, and so he's had to step away for the rest of the year.
Well, he's done anyways. He said if he comes back this year, he's retiring.
Okay.
I hadn't seen that announcement.
I hadn't seen that either, but he's definitely done
He said before this last thing that this was going to be his last year managing. But he's got intestinal issues.
Yeah. Right.
Which is, that's what killed Glenn Frey.
Right.
Oh, is that
Eagles.
Right?
Yeah. You know, sometimes they just can never clear these things up.
Right.
No matter what medications they put on them. So, you know, Terry Francona, never met him, never interviewed him. By all accounts, one of the great, great guys in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly appears that
absolutely.
Way. For
old-time, you know, throwback kind
baseball
of guy.
Baseball family,
yep.
You know.
Yeah. Tito, his father.
So, my Giants are still hanging in there above the Dodgers, even with the Dodgers getting the Hall of the Century. But Chris Bryant from the Cubs won the game for the Giants last night, so I'm super interested in that race. I think the Padres will fall off, especially with Tatis out of that lineup.
Yeah.
And then the Reds are hanging in against the Brewers. You know, I hate to see that the Cubs are out of that, but there's some interesting things going on over there in the American League. Or the National League, the Mets and the Phillies are battling at it. I don't know if the Braves are going to hang in with their star out of the lineup as well. So this is when baseball gets interesting.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
People want to call them the dog days. I call them the really interesting days because these races are starting to shape up, and teams that you weren't thinking good were going to do anything are suddenly in the fight. And frankly, the Detroit Tigers are a little bit in the fight right now. We've been waiting for this for a long, long time. Let's enjoy it.
Right.
Like I said, they're 9 games out of the second wild card spot, and it'll be interesting. If they can take 2 from 3 from Cleveland and maybe sweep the Orioles.
Hey, and you guys, we really, you know, we give A.J. Hinch all the credit in the world, and we have to, Chris Fetter, the pitching coach.
Absolutely.
I mean, look what we're starting 3 rookies in Mize, Scooble, and Manning, with also Willie Peralta and Tyler Alexander right now is their core pitching staff, starters. I mean, seriously, this is, and they're playing an exciting. They're getting it done. They're winning more games than they're losing.
Scooble was great yesterday.
Scooble was
5 innings pitched.
Yes.
He gave up 5 hits, no runs, 4 strikeouts. Casey Mize lost the other night, but he's had a really, really good rookie season.
Did you say? But I mean, he gave up what, 3 home runs? 2 of them made it out by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah.
But it is, on the other hand, it's Comerica Park, which is the biggest ballpark. That's the other thing that these guys brought up in this discussion about Pujols versus Cabrera.
Yeah.
Cabrera's played in the 2 biggest ballparks in baseball.
He could have 100
more. The
place
they used to play in Miami. Oh, yeah, easily have 100 more.
Yep.
Conversely, Pujols has played in 2 launching pads.
Boxes, yeah.
Yeah. So it does make a little difference on, I mean, how many home runs would Cabrera have if he played in Colorado?
Oh,
my.
That's in air. Holy cow.
Yeah. So, and the other thing that the guys were factoring into in that conversation was the fact that pitching is so much better now than it was during Mays and Aaron's era. You know, each pitching staff maybe had one really good pitcher. The rest of it was, you know, middling guys.
You take
a look at the guys from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s who starting pitchers are in the All-Star, in the Hall of Fame. It's not many.
No, that's right.
You know,
that's right.
You got Bob Gibson and a few guys. The rest of the staffs and relief pitchers pitched maybe in the eighth or ninth inning occasionally.
You had a starting staff. You had a starting staff of four or five, and you had a closer. And the rest of the guys you never heard of.
Yeah, you know, exactly. They had when the guys blew up, they'd come in.
That's right.
They're
mop up guys.
You'd see them maybe once, maybe twice a week if you're lucky.
With some of those guys.
Yeah,
baseball is a completely different game. You watch enough baseball and you see these guys come in, you know, inning after inning with filthy stuff.
Yes, I
don't know how guys hit a baseball. Yeah. I don't get it.
I mean, not only do they all throw at least in the mid to high 90s, but all their breaking balls and everything just fall off the table. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's getting a little bit easier lately with the crackdown on the junk on the balls. The spin rates are going down. If you notice, hitting and runs
are
coming
going up.
Yep, and that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Oh, except for yesterday. If you take a look, you know, because I bet this stuff, right? So you got to follow those trends. When we return, we'll talk about our favorite sport to bet, pro football back. What a game last night, huh, folks? Are you guys glued to that? I have never seen a sporting event more than the Hall of Fame game yesterday where the action was not on the field. It was with the booth
and
the guys.
Right.
And guys, I'm wearing my Hall of Fame jacket.
That's exhibition football.
You can't put on your Hall of Fame jacket.
Right.
Yeah. So you better have a good announce crew
to
do the preseason football. But we will talk about the advent of the NFL season and a little college football when we return here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, open for gaming, dining, and sports booking now. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gavin. As we were just talking off air, guys, the Hall of Fame game is a joke anyways. I know why they have it. So there's a football game for that weekend of the induction. And what are they? They're inducting two classes this year, right, Rich?
Yeah, I think right. Because
one on Saturday and one on Sunday.
Right. Because of last year, everything because of COVID, they delayed it. So, right. It's a double class this year.
Our buddy Charles Woodson going in. There's some incredibly talented football players going into the Hall of Fame this go around. Obviously, two different classes, but Jimmy Johnson going in.
Jimmy, yeah.
I wonder why it took that long to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's a good question. Good question.
And how he's just going to go on.
He's in my handful of the greatest modern football coaches.
Yeah.
You know, when you get rid of, like, Lombardi, Parcells,
right.
Jimmy Johnson, Belichick.
Bill Cowher? You put Bill Cowher in?
No.
No?
Okay. No.
Jerry Jones hasn't even put him in the Ring of Honor.
Well, they are putting
they
him
are
him,
going
yeah.
to now, but yeah. right, because of their beef, though.
No Wayne Fonts?
Cocaine Wayne!
Wayne Fontes.
Morning,
it's my kids.
Take the win.
My kids.
As we were talking off air, not a lot of news out of the Lions camp. Some of the things that you like to hear is like Jeff Okuda looks really good, which he needs to. Yeah,
that is good.
Yeah, he's got to show me.
During the real game,
last year's training camp, started training camp. He's the rookie, third overall guy. You know, they read all kinds of stories about what a great camp he was having, how good he was. You know, his instincts and so on. And then he stunk out the joint. We're hearing a lot of the same thing this time. He's got to show me when the game starts.
A fourth-round receiver from USC, that Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's the kid that started the fight at practice the other, but he's playing with a physicality that, of course, Dan Campbell absolutely loves.
There have been some incidents around training camps. One of the teams had to halt their end practice because it was almost a team-wide brawl.
Yeah.
Giants. Giants, that's right.
Yeah, because Joe Judge is their coach from Patriots there. He was really, because they're starting, Daniel Jones, the starting court, was at the bottom of the pile.
Right.
Well, there's always that, you know, and of course.
Guys are fighting for positions.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yep. That is. Going back to Okuda looking good in Lions camp, because the receivers are so crappy that, you know, when we have to face some real talent, that's going to be heard some mixed bags about Goff having turnover issues and everything else. So maybe that's why there's not a lot of words coming out of camp, is because there's, you know,
it's
you
all
don't,
bad. I mean, if I'm a beat reporter, I'm salivating to report that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you just report what you see there. I also heard some good things. The third-round defensive tackle, Alim McNeil, the North Carolina State, he's 5'11", 330. The kid, they call him a dancing bear. I guess he's really doing a great job against Frank Ragnow, the all-pro center. And so that's been a great matchup thus far early in camp.
Well, they've got their first exhibition game a week from tomorrow, I believe it is, against Buffalo. Yeah. You got to throw that out the window pretty much. So we'll get two exhibition games where you can start to judge a little bit about what the Lions are going to look like.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was originally in favor of betting their over of 5.5 wins. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure. I really am not.
I'm not at all.
They're going to... That offensive line better be really good.
It should be the best unit on the field. I mean, their offensive line is their best unit.
They have to score a lot of points.
They are.
The defense is going to give up a lot of points.
Guys, going back to baseball for just a minute, do you recognize these names? Nick Allen, Eddie Alvarez, Tyler Austin, Shane Baez, Anthony Carter, it's not the football player, Tim Fedewitz. You might remember a guy named Todd Frazier.
I remember Anthony Alvarez.
Okay. Anthony Goose. Edwin Jackson is pitching for the U.S. Olympic team. Scott Kazmir is pitching for. I was talking to Keith about this yesterday. They're going to play for the gold medal against Japan today. And the story of the Simon Woods Richardson and Bubba Starling. It is like a ragtag bunch of guys that are playing for gold medal today and underdogs against Japan.
Because Japan, I'm sure, is playing a lot of their professional athletes in their home country. This could be a pretty good baseball game. Japan, by the way, Japan and USA faced off in women's softball, and Japan upset the American women.
They did.
Again,
the women's soccer team laid a pretty big egg.
They did.
They
did win the bronze by beating Australia, but
it didn't help them with all the people that too much concentration on getting paid like the men instead of performing on the field. Mike Socia is the manager of this team, and I saw an interview with him yesterday about. He played for Lasorda, right? And
right.
Lasorda said that the greatest thing that he ever did was be the manager for the Olympic, that when Olympics baseball first came into the Olympics, and he came out of retirement to manage that team, and they won the gold medal in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And Lasorda requested to have the gold medal buried with him.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. So Socia said, no matter, all the World Series and all the accolades that Lasorda said, the greatest thing that he ever did in baseball was manage the Olympics.
We don't talk about that as much in this country as they do in a lot of other countries, playing for your country, wearing the colors, the red, white, and blue of your own country. Canada, you hear people talking about, playing for their country there especially, in a lot of other countries, but not necessarily in ours. And it's good to hear stories like Lasorda talking about what it meant to him to manage the Team USA in the Olympics and winning a gold medal.
Absolutely,
it's a big deal.
It is a huge deal, Keith, for sure.
And I just love this collection of guys they've put together that we'll see if... the Olympic pride can come through. I mean, Japan, a lot of their guys are professional players.
Yes,
they
right.
stepped out yes. of the Japanese baseball
yes.
league to play in this. There's not one guy that left his MLB contract to play for the Olympics.
This isn't like the National Hockey League
right.
interrupting their season to send their players to the Winter Games like
right.
they will do in Beijing probably next year. Baseball doesn't stop for anything in Major League Baseball.
Did they stop? Did they put a halt on that World Baseball Classic? Remember they had that for the first couple of years? So the guys got out of spring training and played.
They postponed spring training or
they didn't do it the last 2 years.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't.
The
first
so I don't know if
did.
That's over or
right.
not. I know they tried to make a big deal out of that.
Right.
It didn't really work out.
You mentioned this kid, Eddie Alvarez, the second baseman. He has a chance now to play. He's playing for the gold medal. If
right.
they lose, he's going to win the silver medal. He'll become the sixth or seventh athlete of all time to win a medal in both the winter and the summer games. He won a speed skating medal.
Seriously.
Some years ago.
Right.
In
right.
Sochi, I think. So he left speed skating and went back to baseball, and now he's playing minor league baseball, but he's on this team. He has a chance to win a gold medal.
Very cool. Oh.
And then you've got the men's basketball team, which is just, well, you're supposed to win the gold medal in basketball. It's kind of like the Canadians in hockey for a long time, Keith, and then when's the last time? You know, they've only won one gold medal in hockey in the Olympics in a long
because
time.
The Soviets. Canadians.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Plus in Finland and there's been
oh,
a
yes.
lot.
Yeah, oh,
yes. Yeah. I mean, competition is pretty fierce. There's been such a weird relationship with basketball and the Olympics. Like I said, since basketball started in the 30s, the Americans just dominated. And then, when they first lost that gold medal to the Russians, where the Russians got five different chances to win.
Exactly.
The royal screw job. Yeah.
And then it's been pretty dicey, and that's when they decided to let the pros come in and play.
Yep.
And then the Americans have been dominant again, but they're playing a France team that beat them in the first round of the Olympics. So they have a chance for revenge. They're 12-point favorites today, or whatever time it is, but that game is played, I think it's like at 11 o'clock tonight or something like that. What would you think if the Americans lost to France twice and lost the gold medal?
You know, there's pretty good rivalry actually developing between these two countries. France did beat them earlier in the season when they were kind of a ragtag bunch playing one of their first games. France won by 7 points, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, in 2019, France beat in the World Cup. France beat the USA to end the 58 game winning streak by the Americans. It wouldn't be unheard of. I think
right.
the Americans will win. They're playing much better basketball now than they were earlier.
And I think it just goes to show you, even though you may have the most talent on a team, it still takes a little bit of time to work together to gel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's a team game. You just have a bunch of really talented individuals. You got to learn to play together. All of that. That's really important. Where these other teams have played together for a long time, you see some of these names and teams, they're together for like the last three Olympics.
Yeah, but the French have, guys like Rudy Gobert.
Oh, yeah, they have.
And
NBA players.
They have pretty good players.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Batum is on there.
Yep.
Look, they can't hold a candle in talent to Kevin
Durant.
And
Drew Holiday, Devin Booker, Bam Adebayo, and Damian Lillard.
Yeah, Damian Lillard's kind of okay.
he's all right.
Yeah.
Look at the bench. Draymond Green, Jason Tatum, Chris Middleton. Jeremy Grant from Detroit.
Yeah, right. I haven't seen him play at all.
No,
I haven't either.
Yeah, but I think it'd be a crushing upset for them to lose the gold medal. I was hoping they'd play Slovenia. I had that on a parlay bet: the Americans versus Slovenia, and Luka Doncic missed the jumper at the buzzer to put France back in. Cost me a few bucks. but I like the Americans plus 12. You can bet that at Odell.
And
we
can watch it live tonight at 10:30 tonight.
Is it 10:30?
Okay.
So that will be it for pro basketball for a little bit, except for you've got the Vegas games, and Rich is dying to talk about this. They played last night, Rich.
Well, here's the deal. Their first game is Sunday.
Sunday? I thought it was last night. No. I was looking for it.
They've got primetime games, JC. They play Sunday night at 8:30 on ESPN2 against Oklahoma City. And then next Tuesday night, the Houston Rockets at 9 p.m. on ESPN.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're putting them at prime time because of Cade Cunningham,
sure.
Sadiq Bey, Killian Hayes, Saben Lee, Luka Garza are all on this roster.
Luka Garza, by the way, pretty nice pick at 57 overall.
He's had, so far, they are talking highly of how well he's shooting the basketball.
Of course they are.
Yeah. JC, how about the center that the Pistons signed?
What you mean?
Oh, Olynyk.
I like Olynyk.
Yeah. I do too.
Yeah, he's he's not a star, but he played well for the Celtics. He played well for Miami?
Yes.
He had a couple of huge games for the Heat in the bubble last year to get them into the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. He can shoot the ball.
Yeah,
he's got good feet. Maybe he could teach Garza how to run and move because,
right.
You know, Rich and I were talking, we talked about this.
We did.
During the college basketball season. Garza is a fine player, but he's super slow.
Yep.
He does not look good on his feet.
He's heavy-legged.
Yeah.
He just doesn't, he's not smooth and quick.
He needs to learn how to dance.
Yes,
you know,
for sure.
And so if he can learn that, he certainly could shoot the ball. And he's physically, he's got a good basketball body, but he wasn't as rough and tumble in the Big Ten as you would have liked to have seen.
Right.
So he's going to have to change some things of his game, and he's saying all the right things.
He's lost weight. He's trying to get quicker. Of course, that's the first step. And
yeah, I were his coach, I'd throw him in the gym with a jump rope and no basketballs, and jump rope for a month,
exactly.
And then get back to me. So we'll see how bad he wants it. There's been a lot of guys like him. I'm trying to think of the kid that comes to mind who played there was the big star at North Carolina, a white kid. Second all-time leading scorer at North Carolina, never really did anything in the pros.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of guys like that.
Right.
What's his name from Duke, who's maybe the greatest college basketball player of all time, never turned out to be that great.
Leitner?
Yeah. Christian Leitner was arguably the greatest college basketball player of all time.
Oh, you just made me throw up in my mouth. Not even close.
You are insane.
Not even close. Christian Leitner, the greatest college basketball player of all time. Are you kidding me?
Look at his record.
Lord, I don't care. He was surrounded by great players.
I think
none of those guys
went into shot in his career.
Lew Alcindor would be certainly up there.
Oh, my Lord.
He went to Final Fours and won two national championships.
Yeah.
And the only other great player that used to so-called surrounded him on.
Grant Hill.
Name one. Yeah. He's the only guy. And he's not even in the Hall of Fame yet.
Yeah.
He's going in this year.
Is he? Okay.
So, yeah.
Is Christian Leitner in the Hall of Fame?
No, he's in the College Basketball Hall of Fame. He's not going in the NBA Hall of Fame.
Right.
No, I'm not. There's a difference between great college players and great players, more than any other sport, if you ask me. I mean, it happens.
It doesn't translate necessarily.
It does not necessarily translate.
No.
But that guy was a bitch in college. Patrick Ewing didn't know how to deal with him. So who's a better basketball player? Sam, I'm sorry.
Right.
I take offense at your.
Right.
As far as the record
we'll
is concerned,
agree to disagree. That's
no,
all
it's,
I,
it's all right. I'm just saying
his career accomplishments are
Rich.
Great.
You're right. Lew Alcindor is the greatest college basketball player of all time. Bill Walton might be second.
Yeah.
And
where do you put Bird and Magic?
They didn't play
college basketball.
Magic Johnson played 2 years in college basketball.
Right. Yeah.
Bird played 2 years in college basketball. Sat out 2 years.
Bird carried a team to the national championship by himself.
Yeah,
right.
and look at his NBA career.
Mm-hmm. You cannot add the NBA to the college basketball career. No, I love Larry Bird, and yes, he's the perfect example of what one guy can do in college.
Exactly.
But you take a look at those teams that Leitner was on, Bobby Hurley. Yeah, good college basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
But what did he do in the pros?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of good players.
Well,
you mean after he almost was killed in the car accident?
Horrible accident, No, but that's...
No, I'm just saying, you know, Duke, that's the big argument when people are comparing Duke to North Carolina. Well, look at all the North Carolina guys that went to the Hall of Fame. Well, then I go, well, look at how great of a coach Krzyzewski is when none of these guys went to the Hall of Fame. Same thing with Bobby Knight.
Yeah.
Bobby Knight's got one guy in the NBA Hall of Fame. His name's Isaiah Thomas.
Is that true?
That is 100%
that
true.
That is crazy.
Whoa, that...
Yeah, you just blew my mind on that. Thinking they had undefeated teams.
Krzyzewski's only had maybe two or three max. Grant Hill, who's the other? Who's the next greatest NBA player that Duke put into the pros? They don't exist. They play their system, their way. You know, only lately... who was the last man in to get these one and dones? Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
Okay, you know.
Yeah, he fought
because,
a tooth and nail.
Yeah, and the same thing with Knight. Knight had, this is the guys that we want. They're going to play my system.
Right.
And my five going to beat your five. And I'll take your five, and you take my five, and I'll beat you.
Yeah.
Ken Benson, great college player.
Well, that's
very
Scotty
sub-average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
16 was magnificent.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody in the Hall of Fame.
Just saying.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Good point.
That's why, you know, Knight, love him or hate him, is the coach still the gold standard in coaching. I mean, Coach Wooden, God bless him, you know, I'm a UCLA Bruin. He had a lot of great players.
He sure
you know,
is.
Wooden was kind of like Pat Riley. Or not Pat Riley, Jackson.
Oh, yeah,
Phil Jackson. Yeah, Phil always had great players. Great to win NBA championships when you got Michael Jordan and Shaq and Kobe and everything else.
Yeah.
Go try to win NBA championships the way Larry Brown did, okay? Yeah. It's just a little
true
bit
that.
Easier to have great talent. When we return here on Friday Faceoff, we've got some great announcements for local sports. And a grab bag, of course, Keith has got to get some hockey in. That's all when we return here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio with Rich Calkins and Reverend Keith Gabe. So preach, brother, preach.
Well, we were talking earlier about big news out of NFL training camps, especially the Lions, and there's not much. But I think
at least no COVID.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the biggest story.
Yeah.
In camps, players, you know, resisting getting vaccinated. 90% of the NFL players have been vaccinated, and that's good.
Right.
But some very prominent players are still refusing to get it. And one of them is one of my favorite people in the league, out of Michigan State, the quarterback from Michigan, Kirk Cousins.
Michigan State.
Yeah, Michigan State guy. But born and raised in Michigan.
Right,
I've always supported this guy as one of the better leaders in the game. He's he's a good man, worthy of kids looking up to him, I think. And ever since he quarterbacked at Michigan State, but now he's leading, to me, he's leading in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
He's refusing to get vaccinated and talking about things like I'm going to enclose myself in plexiglass, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Damn it. Get vaccinated, people. This Delta variant is being spread by people who are not vaccinated, and it's making me crazy, Rich.
And that the practicality of surrounding yourself with a plastic shield the entire time. But and what this is causing, Keith, and you're going to see it, is divides in locker rooms. Especially
that's correct.
Especially from not only is it a potentially life or death situation, it is dividing these locker rooms, Keith, and it's like it's going to cause major problems throughout.
It's absolutely a life or death situation, Rich. The statistics are overwhelming. They say 99.5% of all people who are dying from COVID right now are the unvaccinated. 0.5%. are of deaths from COVID are people who have been vaccinated.
I wanted to get, and we're gonna do this next week on Northern Focus. There's something going on with people who have been vaccinated testing positive for COVID. Now, I don't know if that's, I mean, shouldn't you test positive for COVID once you've been vaccinated because you get the virus?
Because you've had the...
I don't know. I haven't heard that question clearly responded to. I hear about boosters. I hear all the backlash, Keith, from some of these players about, you know, the NFL rules being a pretty unclear.
Right.
A lot of guys saying, you know, they kind of forced us into being vaccinated. I've got coaches that are vaccinated that are testing positive.
Right.
It's not like it's clear cut.
No.
It's not like,
no.
Okay, you take the shot and you're going to live for the rest of your life.
And I can't blame the players. Some of them said, hey, I've been vaccinated. I didn't want to get vaccinated. I've been vaccinated. And now the league's telling me to be tested every day?
Yeah.
I can understand the resistance there. But
right.
At least get vaccinated.
But there's the other thing, okay? So why do I need to get vaccinated if you're going to still test me every other day? I still got to wear a mask. So what's the difference whether I get vaccinated or not? And you understand the racial issue with the vaccines, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
I mean, not being black myself.
Right. Right.
You know, the vaccinations that they gave black women in the 50s that caused so much infertility and everything else is a horrific stain on this country.
No question.
Almost as bad as slavery, in some cases worse.
That's horrible. Yeah, that's horrible. I did not realize that, JC. Seriously. That's why they're reluctant.
This is why there's a big pushback, especially from the black community,
yes.
Is that the government told my grandmother to get vaccinated.
It was safe.
And she could never have, it happened to two million black women.
It's unconscionable.
Yeah, it is unconscionable. And really, we talk about slave reparations. There should be reparations for that particular horrible stain in American history.
And
that's where the whole root cause from the black community comes.
That also explains why the disease has been so horrible for our black Americans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Devastating.
No, there's a lot of different reasons for that. You know, it's also the fact that more blacks live underneath the poverty line than whites. They don't have as easy access to better nutrition than whites. So your immune system is already more compromised than people above the poverty line. Hey, you know, it's rampaging all through the South, especially in white rural communities, where, you know, the Trumpers that didn't think that you needed to have to be vaccinated. This is not a black and white issue.
Right.
It's more of a political issue now.
And it's not a black and white issue because the vaccines have not 100% cleared up the issue.
Right.
So it makes it easy to point, and like these guys just said, Keith, if my coach got vaccinated, you just sent him home because he's positive for the COVID. I mean, look at John Rahm has been vaccinated and he's twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't play in the Olympics and cost him $1.6 million.
Yep.
So I'm not a doctor. The NFL better get better doctors. That's all I'm saying.
Keith, the concern, the political thing, unfortunately, today's day, everything is political.
No question. That's
unfortunate.
Right. That's right. No.
It's unfortunate because there's some things that should not be political.
I have one more thing that as long as I'm on my soapbox, while I'm at it, sports fans, get off your ass and go to work. Go to work. You see all those help wanted signs out there? All over the place, right?
Absolutely.
All over the place. I remember a time up here not so long ago that you saw a help wanted sign in a store and there'd be a line out the door at the personnel office.
Right.
They're everywhere now. Fast food places are giving you $15 an hour to say, do you want fries with that? Help your local businesses if you want to, if you care, by going to work. Quit putting your hand out for free money. go to work. This is mind-boggling that businesses are finding so difficult to get help.
Businesses have changed their hours because they don't have enough staff.
Restaurants are closing 2 days a week because they can't get help. Staff. Are you kidding me?
It is
maddening.
No, it's a massive drag on the economy.
Oh, it's killing us.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I know, but the government still hands out more and more money.
We got to stop that.
Well, I've been saying that for a year. I don't know if you listen to Northern Focus.
Yeah, yes. We got
to. Hey, JC, real quick, I know we got to go to break. Justin Nicklaus, local quarterback, that's record-setting quarterback, and has been an assistant coach for the Grayling Vikings. I just got a text from his dad, Scott. He starts today as a student assistant coach for CMU's football team.
Oh,
so congratulations to Justin. He's going to work down there. He wants to get into coaching as a career, and this is a great step in the right direction. So go get him, Justin.
All right, when we return here on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, we're going to have Greg Vaughn, the head coach of the Traverse City West Titans, on the phone with us as we will be playing those Traverse City West Titans football and basketball games on our sister station 106.3. If you don't know this already, on 100.3, we've been broadcasting the Grayling Vikings football and basketball for many, many years. Rich Calkins was part of that broadcast team, an award-winning MAB award-winning broadcast team. And because we have all the signals now on 106.3 and 94.5 in conjunction with this, we didn't think it was right to be playing Grayling Vikings football over all these stations. I mean, who the hell wants to hear it in Sheboygan?
Right.
Well, I think our sports fans in Traverse City are going to love the fact that we've got Traverse City West coming on there. They got a very interesting schedule. We're going to have the head coach, Greg Vaughn, with us on here in a couple minutes, and then we'll also touch base with our good friends at the Record Eagle Sports. So you get off your ass, Gabe, and start writing.
Friday Night Lights is on the air at Up Sports North Radio.
All right, we'll be back right after these on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gave.
All right, one of the things I love about FanDuel Sportsbook is getting more than one shot for a swing at the fences. Right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back in site credit each day. Just place a minimum five-leg baseball parlay, and if it falls one leg short, you get up to $25 back with parlay insurance.
It's a chance to put a small bet down and win big. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use, and when you win, FanDuel will pay you in as little as 24 hours. I like that part. Besides parlay insurance, new users can also place their bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if their first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sports app and sign up with promo code WGRY to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code WGRY.
That's right, Keith. And remember, just when you thought you had too much insurance, don't forget that parlay insurance. Can't believe, right around the corner here, high school football.
Hello, Coach.
Hello. Yeah.
All right. We are back here live on the radio. Thanks to FanDuel there, guys. Good job. But on the phone with us is Coach Greg Vaughn from the TC West Titans. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
We are fantastic, and we're super excited to have the TC West Titans games going to be on our sister station 106.3. Starting at the Big House at the end of the month.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. We're pretty excited to have you guys on board and help promote our kids and the program. And I don't think there's a better way to start off high school football coming out of what we've had this last year, but play in the Big House.
Yeah, certain seating will certainly be spread out. I know that might be a fairly well-attended game, but I doubt 107,000 people are coming out.
No, I was fortunate to coach at Grand Valley when we played Michigan Tech there to help them out. We had 53,000 and it looked like it was empty. So I don't even know if we'll get to 53,000, but I'm sure it'll be packed.
Yeah, for sure, Coach. You know, looking at the TC West Titans, What really stood out to me, Coach, is the model of consistency in which the football program has been. This is the 25th year, I understand, of the football team, and they've only had two losing seasons in those 25 years, and both of those were 4-5 records.
Yeah, you know, it's in this area, a school that's relatively young, you know, compared to everyone else, and so that tradition that we're trying to build, you know, started with Coach Prisk and then Coach Ware coming in, both of those guys being here 10 years, and it has been pretty consistent over time, and you know, being the largest school north of Grand Rapids, we're up against a few things, but we love the challenge. And you know, our goal is to continue to win conference championships, but try to get a little bit further every single year in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, Coach, I remember when you were coaching at St. Francis just a few years ago. And also, what are some of the things that you learned there that you're taking with you over to the Titans program?
Well, I've been fortunate my whole career, whether it was playing or coaching, just being in some really good, solid programs. Obviously, having Larry Sellers as a coach growing up at St. Francis, playing there, winning a state championship there. But then going on and coaching in college and being under Brian Kelly at Grand Valley and coaching for Peter Sturzma at East Grand Rapids, which just had a heck of a run when he was head coach there. Just trying to bring in what does it take to get to that next level, you know, and understand that everyone works hard. You know, you can't just say, hey, we work hard. Everyone works hard, but there's got to be something different there. And a lot of it goes back to your senior leadership and if your kids are buying in. And I'll tell you, this year, that's something, you know, we've been continually building on, and I think our seniors this year have even taken it up an even higher notch. And we have a great group of kids that I think are leading us in the right direction this year.
Coach, you know, I'm an older guy, probably older than you. The way high school athletes are treated by their coaches is so completely different than how I grew up with, and probably a lot different than when you were a player. Now you've got a lot of different, you know, parents involved and in how you talk and how you treat an athlete. So what are some of the things that you try to do? You know, obviously we're not grabbing face masks anymore and screaming obscenities. We were talking about Bob Knight earlier today on the show. So what is it that makes for installing discipline and getting systems and getting a winning culture without some of the things that we all got used to a long time ago?
Well, I think first and foremost, a coach is a teacher. Period. So when I look at coaches coming in, that's the first thing I look at, because I believe you can know all the X's and O's in the world, but if you can't teach it to a kid, then you're no good. You know, you could maybe help the coaches out, but being on the field dealing with kids, and that's, I'm a special ed teacher. That's my background. That's what I do at West Senior High. So I understand kids are not the same. And I think if there's anything that's the biggest difference from when, you know, I was playing in the 90s to now, and Larry was wonderful with me, is maybe kids were treated all the same back then. And now you got to understand kids, you know, different things get kids going differently. So, I think that's something as coaches, we understand. When I talk to my staff, I tell them every single player needs to have a coach on staff. I'm okay if not every kid thinks I'm the greatest coach in the world. But as long as they have one guy on my staff that they feel they can go to,
right,
you know, that's pretty wonderful. I've got two young boys, and I know there's a lot going on in these guys' lives. I can't even imagine dealing with social media, you know, and all that stuff. And so, you know, just trying to be there for the guys off the field, I think, it is another area that as a coach, you know, you're trying to continue to push so those guys feel comfortable with you.
Yeah, Coach, the Titans have a history of producing some really good offensive linemen. And, of course, you got Ryan Hayes down at the University of Michigan right now. Jake Fisher was there. He was a second-round draft pick who played out of Oregon. And so what is this year's team, what is it shaping up to look at, and how have the off-season workouts been going?
Well, off season's been great, and the thing that we push at West is we want our kids playing multiple sports. If they can play three sports, we want them playing three sports.
And, you know, if they get cut from the basketball team, go out for wrestling. I think Christian Blavin was a kid that was a starter on the hockey team, a captain as a sophomore, decided he wanted to focus on football, and we said, no, you're not doing that. You're already doing track, but go out for wrestling. And kid never wrestled his junior year. He makes it to regionals. And so, you know, those are things that we're pushing upon our kids to do multiple things. And I think that's what our team's made up of, is a lot of kids that have been successful in different areas. Our track team this spring was incredible. I think we had six or seven guys qualify at regional for the 200, which is phenomenal. And a lot of those guys play football. We're a heavy senior-laden team that has some really good experience. Our left tackle, Danny Rosa, who, you know, you brought up, O-lineman coming out of our school. That kid, how he's not getting picked up right now, I have no idea. He's a 6'5", 360-pound tackle that can move like he's about 150. So, you know, we've got a kid next to him that started a couple of years at Kyle McCrum that's just as nasty as old-school lineman you want. So it's – you know, our team, we've got a lot of skill. We've got some good guys up front that'll get after it. And, you know, our big thing is we want to be able to be as physical as we possibly can. We've got a pretty tough schedule ahead of us, but we feel like if we can come out and attack people and be physical, that'll put us in the best position.
Yeah, to start out, Midland, always a real powerful football team at the Big House. And then the big rivalry with TC Central, always – Is that the Michigan Ohio State game for you, Coach?
You know, it's funny. I mean, it's last year having to play them the first week of the year, and,
right?
And knowing everyone's getting to the playoffs, it was really different. You know, just how to handle that game and everything else, and not having scrimmages. We switched our offense up, so they were really good. They deserved to win that game by all means. But it was really interesting starting off this year. We got Midland, then we got Grand Haven, then we got a Cadillac team that's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
Cody's done a wonderful job down there, and then we see Central. So I think we're going to be pretty tested. But the one thing I always say, you know, I've had people from St. Francis ask me, hey, is it really that big a game? And I'm like, I've played in some big games, coached in some big games. I'm telling you, when there's 12,000 people on top of you at Thurlby Field, and it's your hometown team across, I mean, there's a lot of pride that goes involved. And, you know, everyone has a stake in that game. So it is definitely a Michigan-Ohio State game. We've been on the bad side of things the last 2 years, and we got to turn that around.
Yeah, just very briefly, Cadillac coming made it all the way to the state finals last year. I don't know how many kids they're losing, but, yeah, you've got a – and then you got a Marquette up at Marquette, a pretty stout schedule. So what are the chances we go 10-0?
Well – you know what? We in the last game of the year, we picked up it's either De La Salle or Detroit Catholic Central. So
right.
we're not shying away from anything this year. We're gonna you know, go right at it. And we understand, hey, we've got to put ourselves in a great position, because no matter what, we're gonna go see OK Red schools like we have the last couple years, and we're just trying to, you know, bump up the competition a little bit to keep our kids, you know, ready to go heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, Coach, that's for sure, because, again, as you know, hopefully you qualify for the playoffs, and then usually you have to do some traveling downstate a lot of times for those. And if you play those schools from the OK Red Conference, from that Grand Rapids, Muskegon area, all of that, there's just so many really good football teams down in those areas.
Yeah, I think more than anything, what it does is allows your kids to understand what you can play with those different kids. You get to the playoffs, and, you know, I know Traverse City West has always faced Rockford. The last few games have been really close, but you need to get over that hump that one time, and then your kids really start to believe. So I think during the regular season, if you can go play some of that competition and get those W's, it'll help us when we get to the playoffs, that there's not that aura about, hey, it's an OK Red school, or, you know, it's one of the Detroit schools that we would have to face.
Well, either De La Salle or Catholic Central, Coach, I'm a Brother Rice kid, so good luck with either one of those teams. Yeah, you've got a schedule that I hope, well, it's week to week, so we're going to be back in touch with you going forward as we get to the season, and, of course, checking in with you pre-game and post-game all year long.
Well, we appreciate it. We're super excited. I think our fans will be excited to be able to have someone broadcasting our games and promoting our kids. And, you know, it should be a great year.
All right. Thank you, Coach. We'll be in touch. Go Titans.
Yep. Have a great day.
Thanks, Coach.
So there you go. What a schedule.
Oh, my gosh. Exactly. I mean, what a way to start your season at the Big House against Midland. I mean, how cool is that if you're a high school kid?
No doubt about it.
In northern Michigan, it's just amazing.
Plus, you know, like we said, Cadillac, I don't know how many kids they're losing,
right.
But that was the best team in Cadillac history.
Yes.
And then they got payback for TC Central, because they got pushed around pretty good in that opening game last year. So.
And it sounds like with that heavy senior-laden team, you know, he's going to expect these guys to have that chip on their shoulder so they walk out of the Titan hallways when they graduate with a win against Central.
Well, and Grayling Vikings are looking at a pretty big season this year.
They
too,
are,
Rich.
Too. That's another really good team.
Yeah, I liked everything I just heard from this coach.
Yeah.
I would send my boy to play for that man. You know, teachers are my modern-day heroes, especially those who teach special needs children,
for sure.
Special ed teachers. Hardest, I can't imagine a harder job.
Yeah.
No, and then putting that aside and going out to the football field.
And teaching this generation of students a lot better than the helmet slapping, face mask grabbing coaches
my
that we played
the
for.
Highway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't cut it anymore.
Yeah, we could talk about this for a long time. We're already over.
This
it.
Is a good man.
I know you want to talk about hockey and gambling, but...
We can't do it now.
Yeah,
we don't have enough time,
yeah.
But we need to get into that next week.
So,
yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
There's some great things about gambling, guys.
Speaking of sports books, FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new users up with an epic summer games bonus. Place your first bet on any summer games sport risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit for your first bet. If your first bet doesn't win, to get started, my picks to win the gold, JC.
U.S. men's basketball. Like well, you, right
you
now,
got U.S. I had U.S. women's soccer. I'm going to get that money back.
Inside well,
credit.
You go. But I like them giving 12 points to France. I think that the best bet, guys, is over 175. I think that the U.S. That game will go well over.
High scoring affair.
Yeah, I think that they're going to abandon the plan with Gobert, and they're just going to gun it like crazy. And so you got two bets that you can make, and you can't lose.
Yeah,
you
no,
haven't
you,
been
no,
on FanDuel
right.
yet. So put 500 on the over, 500 on the win, and you could thank me when you win.
And you get that money, right. But you get your money in 24 hours.
Yeah, how can you not like that? Because again, but you bet on any event, baseball, soccer, track and field, and more. Promotions like this are just one reason why I love betting with America's number one sports book. FanDuel is easy to use, safe and secure, and you get you get paid in as little as 24 hours. Not the pain there. So download
there
the
is
FanDuel.
No pain. There's
no
downside.
Yeah, the old adage, no pain, no gain, doesn't apply here.
The pain is immediate. The
right.
pay is
so download the FanDuel Sportsbook app with the promo code WGRY and go for the gold today. That's promo code WGRY, 21 and over. And present in the state of Michigan, first online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Right, refund is issued as a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117. There is no problem because you can't lose.
Can't lose.
That's right.
There you
can't
go.
Lose. Beautiful.
All right, that's it. Going to do it for us here on Friday Face-Off on our Up North Sports radio platform. Remember, those Tiger games are here, but the Grayling Vikings are over on 100.3, and the TC West Titans now on our sister station 106.3. Oh, by the way, thanks, Odawa Casino.